नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भ्रमरात्रा उपावृते वासुदेवानुमोदिता अनिचन्त्यौ ययोर्गोप्या स्वगृहान् भगवत्प्रिया। भ्रमरात्रा उपावृते वासुदेवानुमोदिता अनिचन्त्यो ययोर्गोप्या स्वगृहान् भगवत्प्रिया। भ्रमरात्रा उपावृते वासुदेवानुमोदिता अनिचन्त्यो ययोर्गोप्या स्वगृहान् भगवत्प्रिया। Ratre, the nighttime of Brahma, Upavrite, being completed, Vasudeva, by Lord Krishna, Anumodita, advised, Anichintya, Anichantya, unwilling, Yayu, went, Gopya, the gopis, Swagrihan, to their homes, Bhagavat, of the Supreme Lord, Priya, the dear consorts. Translation. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes. Although they did not wish to do so, the Lord's beloved consorts complied with his command. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:17, Lord Krishna explains, by human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day. And such also is the duration of his night. Thus, 1,000 ages entered within a single 12-hour night when Lord Krishna performed his rasa dance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti compares this inconceivable compression of time to the fact that many universes fit neatly within the 40-mile range of earthly Vrindavan. Or one may consider that Mother Yashoda could not encircle the small abdomen of child Krishna with numerous ropes, and that at another time he manifested many universes within his mouth. The transcendence of spiritual reality above and beyond mundane physics is concisely explained in Srila Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Evam prabho priyanam cha dhamnascha samayasya cha avichintya prabhavathadvad atra kinchin nadurgatam. Nothing is impossible for the Lord, his dear devotees, his transcendental abode, or the time of his pastimes. For all these entities are inconceivably powerful. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further explains that the word Vasudeva Nimodita indicates that Lord Krishna advised the gopis. To assure the success of these pastimes, you and I should keep them secret. The word Vasudev, a name of Krishna, also indicates Lord Krishna's plenary expansion, who acts as the presiding deity of consciousness. When the word Vasudeva is understood in this context, the word Vasudeva Numodita indicates that the presiding deity of consciousness, Vasudev, manifested embarrassment and fear of their elders within the gopis' hearts, and therefore it was only with great reluctance that the young girls returned home.
Om Agyanti Midandasya Jnanansanat Salakaya Chakshuru Militanjina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahakana Dalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tatka Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bhancha Kalpatarubhyascha Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes. Although they did not wish to do so, the Lord's beloved consorts complied with his command. I am very grateful to be back with all of you once again. Thank you. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, entitled The Rasa Dance, Text 38. There are 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the very beginning, it is written, Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra Parama Nirmatsananasata. That this cream of all Vedic literature is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Does not take into consideration any goal except the ultimate goal. In all spiritual paths or religions, throughout the world, throughout history, people mainly follow either to improve their economic situation, to increase their ability to enjoy within this world, through pleasures, through health, to gain higher degrees of emotional and physical enjoyment through piety and charity, morality. Or seeing that ultimately all these things are disrupted by old age, disease, and death, they desire liberation, moksha. The Srimad Bhagavatam takes what is the ultimate goal for the vast majority of people and calls it Kaitava Dharma, external religion. The Bhagavat Purana deals with one subject, and that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared to be the Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all realizations, and that is the awakening of the innate, eternal, natural prema, or love of God, love of Krishna, that is within the heart. And to serve Krishna in whatever our field of life may be. Ahaitakiya pratihata. With pure devotion. Sabai pung sang puro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje. Ahaitaki apratihata yayatma supraseded. Parikshit Maharaj was a king. He was going to die within 7 days. For him, it was an emergency. He didn't want a gradual religious education. He wanted to go right to the heart, to the conclusion, to the essence. What is the essence of all religions? What is the primary purpose and duty of a person who is about to die? And this was an answer that was given. That the supreme dharma is loving devotional service to the transcendent Lord. Such loving devotional service, in order to completely satisfy the self, the soul. Satisfaction of the mind is flickering. Satisfaction of the senses is flickering. Satisfaction of other people on the material plane is unpredictable. But satisfaction of the true self is only when this service is rendered with a devotion that is uninterrupted by any circumstance and unmotivated by any type of egoism or selfishness. In other words, samsidhir haditoshanam. Such devotional service is purely for the pleasure of the supreme object of our love, or Krishna. The culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto. We read the philosophy of bhakti. We learn in the previous cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam the science of creation. The inconceivable power and potency of the Lord and the various levels of realization. The culmination is to understand Krishna. When that supreme absolute truth descended from the spiritual world into this world to perform pastimes of most intimate love with his own devotees. And the culmination of the 10th canto are these 5 chapters of the Rasa Lila, which you have been discussing and reading from here in the Srimad Bhagavatam classes at Radha Gopinath Temple. So, in the previous verses, we read how Krishna wanted to satisfy his devotees. The gopis, they were innocent, simple, and pure. They were already way beyond all the other yogic processes. They just wanted to serve and love Krishna. In their total humility, they didn't think themselves in any way superior to anyone else, because that kind of mentality is due to some sort of starvation in the heart, where we have this need, I'm better than others. And it's unquenchable. Because however much we get, there's always a competition that we have to somehow or other overcome. Birth after birth after birth, there's this insecurity to try to somehow or other attain a superior position, and then against the odds of time and against the odds of the world of dualities, we try to keep this position. Kamala dalal jala jivana talamala. But it is all like a drop of water on a lotus leaf, at the best. Our wealth, our power, our fame, our so-called superior position. Drop of water on a lotus cannot remain at any moment. One little wind. You see, the lotus leaf cannot keep that drop on it. Because against the power of the lotus leaf, a wind will come. And when the wind comes, the water slips right off. And there's not even a trace that it ever existed. That's the nature of these things. Yet we see in the huge population of humanity within this world, almost everyone is trying to get that drop and trying to cling to that drop. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This human life is very special. It's extremely rare. Because in the human life we have the opportunity to realize the eternal treasure of Krishna Prema. The highest, most inclusive liberation. But Maya is so strong. This illusory energy induces a human being. The Jivatma may have passed through 8,400,000 species of life. And please do not take this lightly. Because in most all of these 8,400,000 species of life, we have a body that we're just as attached to as we have now. We have mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and friends, and we're looking for food, and we're looking for protection, and we're looking for pleasure. The animals, the birds, the fish, they suffer just like we do. They cling to their happiness just like we do. Death is traumatic. Yesterday, I took an airplane from Patna to Delhi and then changed flights to Mumbai. The flight from Patna boarded at about 8 o'clock at night. And we had to walk through the tarmac and walk up the steps and go into the airplane. And in the airplane, and I was seated near the front. People like to be in the front. But on this day, what you like to do is the worst thing you could do. Because there were hundreds and hundreds of hungry mosquitoes. Because it was dark outside, it was light in the plane, so all the mosquitoes from all directions, they flew inside the airplane. And they were all in the near the front. And literally, when you go in the airplane, there were just swarms and swarms and swarms of mosquitoes. And I was thinking, because people were very upset. There were people who were complaining, I paid so much money for this airplane. And I paid extra to sit in the front. And now I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes. Why don't you people spray the airplane and kill all these mosquitoes? And people were swatting mosquitoes and everything. And I was just thinking that whoever was swatting and whoever was, they didn't even spray, I don't think. Because by the time I reached Mumbai, they were eating me all the way here. But anyways, that mosquito, with no, for most people, devotees are supposed to be different. But for most mosquitoes, when you swap and kill a mosquito, you don't even think twice about it. Yes? But for that mosquito, do you know what a trauma, what a crisis, what a tragedy that is? For something that's not even worth thinking about for a second. That mosquito, the reason he's biting you is because that mosquito is desperately trying to enjoy and maintain its life. He's biting you because he's totally attached to the body he's in and the senses. Now, you may not think it's too significant, the senses of a mosquito. Now, you may not have expected this type of explanation of the Rasa Lila. But we'll come to that later. We must approach it with some realization. That little mosquito loves its life. It might have a tiny little brain. I don't even know what kind of brain. The senses are so tiny and small. But us compared to the mosquito, what are the senses of the demigods? What is the brain of the demigods? Compared to the devatas in the higher regions of this universe, our brains and senses are like little mosquitoes. Everything is very relative. So that mosquito is going through a major, major crisis and trauma of death. The concept of paradukaduki, that another person's happiness is my happiness. Another person's suffering is my suffering. Not only makes us compassionate and respectful to all living beings, but it also actually helps us appreciate the opportunity we have in our human life. Because everything is so flickering and so fleeting. So we have gone through birth, old age, disease, and death probably way more than 8,400,000 times with the same kind of experience that you're going to have of death in this life if you're not self-realized. That's what it takes to come to this human form. And in this human form, we have the opportunity to understand our eternal nature, our eternal goal. And all of our dharmas, all of our duties, responsibilities, our religions, our relationships, are meant to harmonize with and facilitate this ultimate goal of life. That's what bhakti yoga is. The path by which everything is harmonized with pleasing Krishna, with loving Krishna, with liberating ourselves from the ego and the attachments of the ego. So the gopis, their only desire was to please Krishna. Many did the Katyayani Vrat, which is just recently, according to our Vaishnav calendar, where they performed simple austerities to worship Katyayani, the pleasure potency of the Lord, for the purpose of getting Krishna as their husband. They were very young. They didn't want Krishna as their husband the same way that somebody may like some famous Bollywood person as their husband. Krishna is supremely beautiful, supremely attractive, supreme in every way. But they wanted him as their husband so that they could exclusively, without any distraction or diversion by anyone or anything else in life, serve him and please him. It wasn't for themselves. It was for Krishna. And Krishna performed the incredible pastime of taking the clothing of gopis and ultimately returning it to them and promising them that he will fulfill this desire. On Sarat Purnima, Krishna, through his own inconceivable spiritual potency, he orchestrated the whole of Vrindavan to accommodate the deepest loving exchanges. This is what Vrindavan is in the spiritual realm. Vrinda Devi is the supervisor of the various fulfillment of Krishna and Radha's desires. Through orchestrating with the cows and the birds and the trees and Yogamaya Devi, Purnamasi, Balaram, who expands himself as Brajbhumi. They are all making everything a perfect setting for loving exchanges. How the moon rose. We get some conception of how beautiful it is when the moon rises. But it's rising in Mumbai. And it's a planet called Chandra. But in Vrindavan, this is all the internal spiritual potency of the Lord. Vrindavan is not of this world. That moonrise is Sri Radha, through her potencies of Vrinda and Purnamasi and Yogamaya, she is creating the most beautiful possible environment for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna plays his flute, Bamsi, under the banyan tree, Bamsi Vat, and calls all gopis to come to him. And the Bhagavatam tells how the gopis, they put every other consideration in life aside to give pleasure to Krishna. This is love. They risked everything. They risked their physical and emotional security and safety. They risked being ridiculed and condemned by society. They risked being homeless dwellers of the forest for the rest of their life, without even a consideration, because that was all inconsequential. The only thing that was really important was how we give pleasure to Krishna. That is love. We get a sense of that, of a father or mother's love for a child in this world. But when that spirit of selfless, unconditional love is purified and magnified unlimitedly, then we get a hint of what that spirit of love for Krishna may be. And Krishna reciprocates with his love unlimitedly. When they came to be with Krishna, ultimately Krishna tested them, and then they danced. And Shukadev Goswami, who is a great renunciate sannyasi, we already read in previous chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam what was his renunciation. He was so liberated from any desires for material enjoyment. He was content to remain in the womb of his mother. How content is that? Why should I go anywhere else? Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahma. Satchidananda. I am eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. He was Brahman realized. He was a pure, realized Brahmavadi. When he was in the womb of his mother. So he decided, why go out into the world? And why do anything? I'm here. This is where I am, good enough. He's a baby in the womb of his mother. 12 years he stayed there. Now mothers, only you can understand what kind of situation that is for another mother. Us men, we theoretically say, oh, that's a long time. I don't know what it's like, at least in this lifetime, I don't know what it's like. 12 years. And ultimately, Krishna and Vyasadeva, his father, had to somehow or other induce him to come out by giving him an experience of something higher than Brahman realization. Higher than moksha is prema. Or, according to the acharyas, the ultimate realization of moksha is prema. Prema means the awakening of ecstatic love. When we suffer, we want peace. But the heart yearns for something more than peace. Yearns for love. To feel Krishna's infinite love and to love Krishna infinitely is the innermost nature of the soul. So Krishna and gopis, the Rasa Lila is the dynamic spiritual expression of that love for each other. In certain realms of the spiritual world, just existence is the bliss of peace. But in the Vaikuntha realm, the love of the heart, the love of the soul, because there is no material bodies, there is no material ego in this spiritual realm. There's only pure Atma and pure Paramatma, the Supreme. And there's pure Ras. So that loving relationship is expressed in infinite varieties of ways. And Krishna danced with gopis. And here we find, at the end of the discussion of Rasa dance, Shukadev Goswami, this great sannyasi, who considers this the highest revelation of spiritual perfection, the Rasa-lila. He's giving us today's verse. just to show us that what he just explained is so transcendent to anything of this world. This dance lasted an entire night of Brahma. What is a night of Brahma? Now, a night for a mosquito is practically almost a lifetime of a mosquito. Yes, mosquitoes don't last that long. What is 100 years for us is very different. Can you imagine a mosquito living 100 years? Some insects only live a few days, but they go through their whole, the same cycle we do in 100 years in those few days. So Brahma, his one night, is 4,320,000,000 years. Can you calculate that? Recently, I was in America. My father had his 90th birthday. And everyone was amazed how he lived 90 years. He's still living? 90 years? So that seems like a lot to us. Brahma lives 311 trillion years. That comprehensible? Brahma's one night, that means 12 hours, is 4,320,000,000 years. Now we may think this is some type of mythology or analogy or impossible. Well, that little mosquito in the plane last night was probably thinking that my lifespan was inconceivable and impossible. If they were having some kata and they were discussing what analogy is trying to be made that somebody could live so long. So everything is, we have to understand that our conception of what is possible is totally relative to what's possible for us. Yes. Even a little baby is crying for the milk of its mother. A little baby is really doesn't know much about anything except, you know, just trying to enjoy and survive and trying to feel love. A baby is crying for love ultimately and the protection of love. The whole idea of a mother, you know, embracing the child and giving milk to the child and taking care of the child. These are all just forms in which there's an expression of love. Without an expression of love, all these physical duties are quite hollow and without purpose. Yes? So similarly, in the spiritual world, all the activities are ways of expressing pure, liberated love. So Krishna wanted to show that this Rasalila had nothing to do with material existence. And so many people, especially here in India, they take the Rasalila to be something like their conception of romance. Yes? Let me have Rasalila with you. Yes, you be Gopi, I be Krishna. How many people do like that? Or they take it to be something like what you see in the films, the loving attraction of romance. But Shukadeva Goswami is showing how Krishna, it's like an exclamation point. That this has nothing to do with lust. It has nothing to do with material enjoyment. It has nothing to do with what we like to do in this world. It's completely transcendent. The essence is we want to love and be loved. But on the spiritual platform, Krishna had this Rasa-lila for 4,320,000,000 years. And he put all that time within 12 hours. Is that possible? Achintya Shakti. For Krishna, everything is possible. It's transcendental. And here we find Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur giving his examples. When Krishna was just a little baby, Yashoda Mai put him on her lap and went, he was just an infant. He was so light, he just sat on her lap, and her motherly love expanded so deeply. And there's an expression. Her love was being expressed because her body is a facility to manifest that love. That's spirit, that's bhakti. And it manifested through milk. Her love just wasn't, oh Krishna, you be and I be. Her love was, Krishna, I want to give you something. And the dearmost intimate expression of my love now is my milk to give you happiness. So she opened little baby Krishna's mouth and went to put the milk in his mouth. And she happened to look in his mouth and she saw the entire universe. His mouth's only this big. She saw the Himalayan mountains. She saw Mount Sumeru and all those bigger mountains from other planets. She saw all the oceans. She saw all living beings. She saw all demigods and humans and all species of life. She saw the modes of material nature. She saw how everything was working. And Krishna's mouth didn't grow. It's not that all of a sudden Krishna had a huge mouth and Yashoda was just looking at this mouth. His mouth was only this big, maybe 3 inches in diameter, the most. And yet millions and millions of miles of oceans and mountains and outer space and planets were within it. That's Krishna. Now you can open your mouth and open. I've noticed when doctors, you know, put that stick in your tongue and look in your mouth, they usually never look for more than about 3 seconds. Yes? Because it's not a very nice thing to see, actually. Sometimes when they do that, I'm thinking, why don't they look thoroughly? They just go, you know, nothing very interesting inside. That's us. But Krishna, he has inconceivable potencies. For Krishna to create all living entities, for him to create all the universes. We can't do that. He can. So he could do anything. He's Swarat. He could put the whole universe in his little mouth. And Yashoda Mai could see everything. She was looking in his mouth and seeing within his stomach was the whole cosmic manifestation. And he didn't get fat. He just remained little baby Krishna. Everything is inside Krishna by Krishna's will. And by Krishna's will, nothing is outside of Krishna. To Arjuna, he manifested the Virat Rupa. He showed him, I saw everything within little baby Krishna. And to Arjuna, he saw everything else. He saw everything, Krishna's form expand to cover the whole universe and beyond. And that same Virat Rupa, who is an expansion of Krishna, Yashoda Mai, she tied a rope around him and bound him. And Krishna was crying. Krishna was crying that now I am bound by my mother and I'm helpless. That is Krishna's will. So for Krishna to put 4,320,000,000 years within 12 hours, it's not impossible. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's Krishna. Why should the absolute truth, Parabrahman, descend to the earth if he does things the way we do things? Yes? He comes to reveal his super excellence. As Matsya, he became such a big fish. As Narasingha Dev, as Vamana Dev, two steps he covered the universe. When the Lord appears in the world, he does it in wonderful ways. And Krishna does it in wonderful ways that are all within the context of the intimacy of rasa, or loving relationships. That is Krishna. So this rasa lila is the highest revelation of bhakti. And in order to even have the proper conception of it, what to speak of realization, it is recommended that under the guidance of self-realized souls, we study the entire 9 cantos and all the preceding chapters of the 10th canto before we even approach the rasa. The 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita begin with the fundamental conception of who am I? What is this body? What is the soul? What is material nature? What is God? What is karma? What is death? And it culminates with surrendering to Krishna. Always thinking of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita concludes. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins with such incredible stories. The sages of Naima Sharanya, the greatest rishis on the whole planet, are so worried about humanity. They see Kali Yuga coming and they see what's happening before their eyes and they could look into the future of what's going to be. And with deep, deep compassion, they want to know the essence. What is true religion? What is true dharma? What is the perfection of life? How to reach it? They inquire from Suta Goswami. And he explains about his previous experience of being under a banyan tree on the bank of the Ganges, where he witnessed Shukadev Goswami speak to Parikshit Maharaj. And all the sages and rishis of the universe practically were there to hear that katha. The sages and rishis we read about that were present there, many of them were the people who spoke the Upanishads, who spoke the Puranas, who compiled the Mahabharata and the Itihastas, who were the gurus of those who reveal to us the Vedas, the Upanishads, and everything else. They were all there to hear Shukadev Goswami speak this narration. That is how important Srimad Bhagavatam is. And the first nine cantos establishes what is actually the nature of the Absolute Truth, culminating in the loving pastimes of the Absolute Truth, in their fullest expression. And that culminates in this Rasa-lila. Today is the disappearance day of Devananda Pandit. And I will end class by speaking something about this day, which is so relevant to the subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Rasa-lila. Why is it on the Vaishnav calendar? Because Krishna had unlimited associates. But on our Vaishnav calendar, there's the appearance day of Sri Radharani. There's the appearance day of Lalita Sakhi. There's a few appearance days like that of Krishna's unlimited associates. And in Krishna Lila and Ram Lila, directly, we do not find any disappearance days. We only have Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Ramnomi, Varaha Dwadasi, Narasingha Chaturdasi, Vamana Dwadasi, Nityananda Trayodasi, Advaita Charya's appearance day. There's no disappearance days. But among the devotees of the Lord, especially of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya, he has an appearance day, but there's no disappearance day. But among his devotees, his loving associates, among the unlimited associates, the words, there's just a handful of people that we actually honor and celebrate and meditate upon their appearance and disappearance days. Now, obviously, the six Goswamis, Rupa Sanatan Goswamis, Raghunathas Goswamis, other very, very prominent acharyas who provided so much literature and so much example and so many incredible pastimes with the Lord. But Devananda Pandit, we only find him really mentioned a couple times. Why is it that the acharyas have focused and given so much attention that even almost 500 years later, we're still every year commemorating Devananda Pandit? Because his story is such a vital lesson for us to understand what we are speaking about this morning. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? What is Krishna Lila? So from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, I'd like to explain some of the stories of Devananda Pandit. One day, Lord Chaitanya, along with some of his devotees, this is after he had already gone to Gaya and revealed the ecstasies of his love for Krishna, for God. He was going to Visharada Maheshwar's house, the father of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And as he was walking in that area, he happened to pass the house of Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was the foremost popular scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it describes from his birth, he was detached from any selfish, egoistic lifestyle. He was very moral, very respectful, extremely intelligent and learned, and always was aspiring for liberation above and beyond anything else. But he had no conception of devotion. So he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in many fascinating ways, scholarly ways, and allegorical ways that mesmerized people. But there was no talk about true love, true bhakti. When Lord Chaitanya heard him, he wanted to teach the world a good lesson. So he said, why is this ignorant person speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam? He's missing the entire purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, he explained, is the crest jewel of all the Vedas. That all the Vedic literatures, the four Vedas, the Itihastas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, the Agamas, they are all like pure yogurt. And Shukadev Goswami, he churned that yogurt, and what came out was the cream of all the Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which exclusively glorifies the path of pure love. And he's speaking everything except that. What right does he have to speak Srimad Bhagavatam? He's misleading. Devananda Pandit could hear it, but he didn't care anything for that, because he was a very, very famous, popular scholar. But Lord Chaitanya personally left his home and took sannyas so that people would start to take his message more seriously. Because previously they just considered him one of them, which he was happy to mix as one of them, but they weren't understanding his purpose, his message, his gift. After Lord Chaitanya left, Akreshwar Pandit, who was a great, great devotee, whose heart was always filled with love for Krishna, for God, and deep compassion for all beings, and he was constantly inviting people to enter into the realm of this spiritual love through the chanting of the holy names. Vakreshwar Pandit came to the house of Devananda Pandit. He was so humble, he was so respectful, he was so deeply compassionate that somehow or other Devananda Pandit welcomed him into his home and became deeply attracted to Vakreshwar and wanted to serve him. He would arrange everything possible for the comforts of Vakreshwar Pandit. And when Vakreshwar Pandit would perform Sankirtan, Devananda Pandit who, as I explained, was a very esteemed senior person of the Navadvip community, he would have a little stick, and he would go and walk in circles around Devananda Pandit to make sure that none of the people would come and interfere with his dancing by getting too close to him. And when Vakreshwar Pandit in his ecstasies would fall, Devananda Pandit was always there to catch him. And to put, when there was dust on Vakreshwar Pandit's body, he would cleanse him. In this way, he lovingly served a devotee. Vrindavan Das Thakur quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam that if a person serves the Supreme Absolute Truth, one may get love of God. Well, if one sincerely serves a devotee of the Supreme Lord, then one will certainly get love of God. Because Mad Bhakta Pujadhyadika, Krishna gets more pleasure when we serve those who love him than when we serve him directly. So because Devananda Pandit became attracted to serving a great soul and become attached to this great soul, Devananda, he actually could understand in his heart that Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna, who have appeared in one form, the Param Brahman, to reveal the highest treasures of love to the world. And he felt so bad, because previously he was so negligent and so offensive to the Lord and his devotees. Even though Lord Chaitanya was performing kirtan at the house of Srivas, and he was having kirtan with millions of people to Chamkazi's house, and he was doing kirtans all over Navadvip, all those years, Devananda Pandit never even bothered to go to him, because he had a certain pride of his own conceptions and his own scholarship of Bhagavatam. And here the personification of Bhagavatam was right there in his town, and he could not recognize it. But now, after serving a devotee, he recognized it. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he came back to Navadvip on his first trip to Vrindavan and stopped in Kulia, one of the islands called Advip. And there, millions of people were coming to get his darshan. Among them, Devananda Pandit was one. Lord Chaitanya allowed him to come personally into the home he was staying of Madhava Das. And Devananda Pandit, with great humility, offered his dandavat pranams from a distance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him and said, "Devananda, because you have served the great devotee Vakreshwar Pandit, please come to me. I am yours." And then Lord Chaitanya, with his own mouth, began to glorify his devotee. He said, "Vakreshwar Pandit is such a lover of Krishna. Krishna's favorite residence is in the heart of Devananda Pandit. Wherever Devananda Pandit chants kirtan and dances, Krishna personally is dancing with him. Wherever Vakreshwar Pandit shows his compassion, all of Krishna's compassion is manifesting through him. All the holy places of pilgrimage are present wherever Vakreshwar Pandit dances and chants the holy name." because you have served and appreciated this great devotee who is so dear to me, you are relieved of all your sins, you are cleansed of all your offenses, and I am your property. Please come to me. Devananda Pandit was so humble. He said, I've been so offensive. I've done so many wrong things. But you have delivered me. But my whole life is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Please tell me. How should I explain the Srimad Bhagavatam? Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, explains that the type of learning, the type of presentation of Devananda Pandit was unique. Of all the scholars in Navadvip, and it was the high seat of learning for the whole India at the time, there were only a few who had the scholastic merits and the power to speak as Devananda Pandit. And yet, now he has become more humble than a blade of grass. He's willing to offer all respect to others and none in return. How did that transformation take place? Devananda Pandit realized that all of his morality, all of his piety, all of his ethics, all of his incredible scholarship, all of his ability to mesmerize large crowds of people with his speaking, they were all like so many zeros without that one of sincere devotion to Krishna in the front, without devotion. And from the core of his heart, with such deep humility, he pleaded with Lord Chaitanya, how should I explain Srimad Bhagavatam? Here's the greatest teacher of the Bhagavatam in the world asking that question. And Lord Chaitanya, with great happiness, explained. He explained it to the whole world. He said, Srimad Bhagavatam should be explained in relation to pure unalloyed devotion between the Jivatma and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radha. The very culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is in the 10th canto where Krishna leaves all the other gopis just to be with Radha. She is the origin of all prema. She is the origin and the complete fullness, the total complete whole of all love. Krishna's Madan Mohan. Cupid or Kamadev is bewildering everyone in this world. But Krishna bewilders even Kamadev. But Sri Radha, she attracts the heart of even he who bewilders Cupid. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha herself explaining what is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is all meant to understand the purity, the completeness, the inclusiveness of bhakti. Every word, every shloka of every chapter of Bhagavatam, just explain it in this way, through the eyes of pure devotion, pure bhakti. And then Lord Chaitanya said something which is very, very important. Because you see, many people, even scholars and yogis, their conception is that bhakti yoga is a path that brings us to a state where when we come to that liberation, there's no more need for bhakti. It's like if you have a map and you have a car and you go to a place and you get out of the car and you don't need your map anymore, you're there. Yes? So we do kirtan, we do harikatha, we do puja, we do seva, we do vandana, archaram. And ultimately, when we actually go beyond the dualities of material existence, then we leave all these things behind. But Lord Chaitanya explains that bhakti is eternal. This is the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam you must teach. Loving the love between the Atma and the Paramatma, between the soul and God, is the highest eternal reality. The love between Radha and Krishna is the highest eternal reality, and we are all part of that lila. He explained that Matsya appeared within this world. Varaha appeared within this world. All these great incarnations appeared within this world. But their appearance in this world is not the beginning and an end of their life. They are eternal. And in the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of the Bhagavatam, the leelas of the Lord are eternal. They are ever existent. Whenever you speak Srimad Bhagavatam, explain about the eternal nature of bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was his basic principle of teaching. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityatas. We are all eternally the loving servants of Krishna. The true realm of bhakti, as taught by Ramanuja and Madhva and Vallabhacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nimbarkacharya and all of these great saints, this is the foundational principle. Aham Brahmasmi, we are Brahman. But within that realm of Brahman, there is Vaikuntha, there is the spiritual world, where loving relationship is eternal, where Krishna's form and personality is the supreme ultimate cause of all causes and the eternal object of our love. When we begin to enter into this understanding of the value and the glory of devotion, then we can get a hint of entrance into the Rasa Lila. The Lord Chaitanya blessed Devananda Pandit. Now you go out and you speak and you teach Srimad Bhagavatam in this spirit. And not only you will attain the highest perfection, but you will inspire the highest perfection in everyone you meet. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. Narottam Das Thakur prayed that this kirtan of the holy name has descended from the spiritual world. In other words, this Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked, what do you hope to get by chanting Hare Krishna? He said, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that we give it up at a certain stage. He said, now we are chanting to clean our hearts. But when the heart is cleaned, we chant with ecstasy of pure love forever. Because this kirtan has descended from the spiritual world, where there is no ego, where Krishna is fully in the center of everyone's hearts, and everyone is totally harmonized with love for each other because their life is dedicated to serve Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to this world the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world. Jibwe Pipa Swami Tamata Deva Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. The gopis, the gopas of Vrindavan, whatever they're doing, they're singing the beautiful names and glories of Krishna. This is how we understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Shall end here. Haribol.